sounds good to me. I had two different stories when I came in here, and all of these stories were, it's kind of humorous when you look at it. Somebody told me, well, a gentleman came up to me, and one of my brothers said, well, there's nobody following you after this particular program. That meant that at 4:15, and my brother here said, now we've got to want to cut off about 4:15, and we understand that we want to keep all this pretty close, tightly knit as we possibly can. And when I looked at that schedule, 4:15 to 5 o'clock, I thought, oh boy, because that's about just what I need, is oh boy, that time. But I'm going to try to, when I get there, pretty close to 4:15, I'm going to possibly going to have to skip. So my dream of speaking to now at 5 o'clock has been dashed. And I believe I could for one time go that long. If I move my head up, can you still hear me? Because I'm going to have to be able to look around over there, and I want to look over here. And I really don't know where to place my eyes. But anyway, we'll, with the Lord's help, and as we meet in His precious and holy name, we're going to start off this sermon, and I want to say right off set that I realize it's about 20 minutes past nap time. You know, and I thought, well, 3:15, well, that's a good time to speak, and then again, it isn't, depending on what you did prior to that, and that is eating. When I walked in here, you were all in a pretty good discussion. And a good discussion going. I looked around. And said, well, these people are wide awake. I've got no problems. But then again, my dreams were dashed. A young lady that I admired come up and said, oh, I hope you make it interesting because I'm sleepy. What do you got to do, you know? So I'm going to try to make it interesting. I want to make it interesting not only for the adults, the elderly people, but I want to try to make it interesting for the young at heart. I mean the very young. You like fairy tales, and we're going to start off with a fairy tale this afternoon, and we're going to try to make that fairy tale come to life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a gentleman that asked me, I can relate things better from the gospel when there's a story related to it. So we're going to try to relate this story to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this particular story, and before I show you the cover, I want to say that I am calling nobody this particular thing. If it involves a duck, you're not a duck. Remember that now, okay? Now, we're going to start with this story, and many of us in our younger years read it, or had it read to us in kindergarten. The title of it is The Three Little Pigs. And we want to take these little fellas, these characters, and we want to relate them to our life. Because this is your life. What you do in this life right here and now is going to eventually catch up to you. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, this life will catch up to you in this manner of what you do here. So what I'd like to do, I want to read this story first, and then we'll come back and we'll highlight on it. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs, three plump little pigs who were brothers but not all alike. One sunny day, the pig brothers set out to seek their fortunes. They warned each other to beware of the wicked wolf, then waved goodbye to their mother and skipped happily down the road. As he danced along, the first little pig met a farmer with a wagon full of straw. Good morning, said the pig. Will you sell me your straw so I can build a house? Gladly, said the farmer, but a house of bricks would be stronger. That would take too long, said the lazy little pig, so he took the straw carelessly, built his house. It wasn't long before the wolf came along, the wicked wolf. Little pig, let me come in, called the wolf. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chins, answered the little pig. Then I'll hop and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in, roared the wicked old wolf. So he huffed and he puffed till he blew the house in, and the first little pig ran away far away. Now the second little pig met a woodsman with a load of twigs. Good morning, said the pig. Will you sell me your twigs so I can build a house? Gladly, said the woodsman. But do you think a house of twigs will be strong enough? Of course, exclaimed the foolish pig, and he took the twigs and quickly built his house. It wasn't long before the wolf came along, the wicked wolf. Little pig, little foolish pig, let me come in, called the wolf. Not by the hair of my chin, 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 answered the little pig. Then I'll hop and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in, roared the wicked old wolf. So he huffed and he puffed till he blew the house in, and the second little pig ran away far away. Meanwhile, the third little pig marched happily along, and as he marched, he met a bricklayer with a load of red bricks. Good morning, sir, said the pig. Will you sell me your bricks so I can build a house? Gladly, said the bricklayer. These bricks will make you a fine, strong house. So the wise little pig took the bricks and slowly began to build his house very carefully. He worked. It was a splendid house with a big fireplace. When the pig had finished, he went inside to rest. But he did not rest long, for soon the wolf came along, the wicked wolf. Little pig, let me come in, called the wolf. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, answered the little pig. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in, roared the old wolf. So he huffed and he puffed, and he huffed and he puffed, but he could not blow the house in. Then the wolf had an idea. Little pig, he called, if you'll go with me at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'll show you where to find fat red apples. Thank you, called the little pig. But the smart little pig got up at 5 o'clock. When the wolf came along at 6, he smelled delicious apple pie baking. My, the wolf was angry and hungry too, but he pretended not to care. Little pig, he said, tomorrow I'll call for you at 5, and we will go to the fair. That sounds like fun, said the pig. Thank you. The wolf growled and raced after the wolf. But the next day, he was on his way by 4 o'clock. He had a fine time at the fair. But he started home, he bought a butter churn. As he walked along, he saw the wolf coming up the hill. Quick as a wink, the smart little pig jumped into the churn and rolled thumpy thump down the hill past the wolf. The wolf growled and raced after the churn. The little pig rolled to his door, jumped out of the churn, and ran inside. The wolf pounded on the door, shouting, you fooled me for the last time. Little pig, I will come down the chimney and eat you up. While the wolf was climbing on up onto the roof, the little pig whisked over to the fireplace. He took the lid off the little kettle of boiling water. Down the chimney came the wolf, right into the kettle. Pop went the lid. Then the little pig sat down in his snug little house. He chuckled to himself, Mr. Wolf, by the hair of my chinny chin chin, you did get in, and you'll never bother me again. Now that's the story of the three little pigs. Now, we'll go back to the first, and as the pigs left their mom, they left their home. These three little pigs, they were evidently taught by Mama Pig, you see. And they on this sunny day, the big brother set out to seek their fortunes. Okay, every day in our life, we go out and try to seek our fortune to some degree. We're out there making a living. And this, the living that we make subsidizes us in what we purchase from other people that are making a living in other areas. And through our working efforts, we become happy by what we can purchase and what we can do. And just like these pigs, we too look for our fortune. But we are looking, supposedly, through a different means. Our fortune is not in the monetary system, but our fortune is in the spiritual system, if I can use that particular term, in the spiritual sense. And we want to relate this story to the spiritual sense upon what you are doing. You know, each and every one of us, when we were born, Mom and Dad, either both or one of them, gave us a name. They either called us John, Harry, Mary, Jane, or whatever. And they sometimes agreed, sometimes they didn't. But that name goes with us throughout our life. You know, and then that's the first birth that we had. But there was another birth when we became acquainted with Jesus Christ, and we wanted Jesus Christ within our own hearts. And we said, well, now Jesus has something for us. Jesus has a plan for us. Jesus has eternal life for us, and this is for me. So when we began to see that this was for me, we immediately took steps to go in that direction, supposedly. Now, each and every one of us have been baptized, but I'm going to get to that a little later in the story. Now, as these little pigs went on their way, they warned each other to beware of the wicked wolf, then waved goodbye to the mother and skipped happily down the road. Book of Mormon, page 320, verse 103. For what shepherd is there among you, having many sheep, does not watch over them, that the wolves enter not and devour his flock? And 105, and now I say unto you, that the good shepherd doth call after you, and if you will hearken unto his voice, he will bring you into his fold, and ye are his sheep. 106, and he commandeth you that ye suffer no ravenous wolf to enter among you, that ye may be destroyed. And that's exactly what happened to these three little pigs. They went out to see seeds, their fortune. Now, spiritually, we want to relate to this. But one little pig, he decided to build a straw. Now, brothers and sisters, when you walked into the waters of baptism, and from that time that you walked into the waters of baptism, come forth, had hands laid upon you for the receiving of the Holy Ghost, you are told, the scriptures tell you, that the Holy Ghost will lead you to all truth and new truth. Things that you've heard. Right? Right. That's the word. All right, now this little pig, he wanted to take the easy way out. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we want to take the easy way out. We are not willing to walk that mile. But we'd rather go a quarter of that mile, because in that quarter of a mile that we walk, there are many things that will diversify our thoughts and our direction. Things that look great to our eyes. And we want to take part of them. We see others that are not. And the young lady said up here that she would defend her church. And because of her church, people are different. And we in the Church of Christ, we defend certain things within it. We defend the Book of Mormon. We defend Jesus Christ. We defend Joseph Smith to a degree, and up to that degree in which he was correct and right. All right. Now, if we take shortcuts, such as this individual did, he built it in straw. Are you building on straw? Are you just taking that shortcut and not willing to yield over your complete will to Jesus Christ? Okay, that we'll go to John 14 and 6 and see what it says there. Many of you do already. John 14 and 6. This is where I get into a big rush for some reason or other. John 14 and 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there was no other way, no other shortcut that this individual could take. You can't build your spiritual life upon straw and take shortcuts, because Jesus said that he is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. He is the life. Now, Jesus also said in John 10, in relating to taking things very lightly, taking things perhaps not too seriously, we find in John 10 this account, verily, verily, and I'm quoting Jesus Christ, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Then there isn't a half a dozen different ways to go. There is that by that one door, by that one method, and that door is Jesus Christ. Now, the panel up here wanted to know how to build, or what do you say to people when you're talking to people about the difference between your church and their church, whatever their church may be. And I do wholeheartedly agree that you do not knock or do not disgrace any other people's religion or what they believe. But there is one common ground that we can all go to, and that is Jesus Christ. That is a common ground that you work on. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he died for you. And then the six principles of the gospel, believe it or not, come in later. Not first, but later. But Jesus Christ, he is the central force of everything. Luke 24 says this. Luke 24. I should have said in the offset that any pages that I can't find, if it takes me too long, I should be able to gain that 2 or 3 minutes towards the end. Luke 24, going into the 13. The problem with this, partially, and I would like to relate this. Now, we want to say about this man, this farmer, this man, this also this other gentleman, woodsman, and the bricklayer, we're going to relate him, we want to relate him to an angel. To an angel. Now, why do I say an angel? Because sometimes we are, as stated in chapter 24, of two individuals that were talking a long, long, long time ago. Verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And Jesus had been crucified, and he had just risen. And it came to pass that while they communed together in this reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Their eyes were closed, their minds were blank. They didn't know him, that it was Jesus himself. And many times, this angel that came to these three little pigs, two of them didn't realize what was happening to them. They used their wisdom. And yet, did not that man say, but a house of bricks would be stronger? And isn't the gospel stronger than what man would have for us, the precepts of men? And Jesus has accused man teaching the precepts of man and not being afraid of his gospel, not being afraid of his message. So we move on a little bit, and we'll find here that the house is blown down, and then we come to this woodsman. And the woodsman says, but don't you think a house of twigs will be strong enough? Okay, so we move from that straw, from taking things spiritually very lightly, to a stronger source, twigs. I remember back in 1967, thereabouts, that my brother that is sitting over to my left, up at the temple lot, it was conference time, and he was the speaker. And with him that particular day, he brought, I believe, about a dozen of popsicle sticks. They were very narrow, as I recall. And he says, now look and see what I can do with these popsicle sticks. He could bend them. And you know, sometimes we take, like a popsicle stick, we take this gospel, we bend it, we justify little things that we like to do, but yet in the back of our minds it says, oh, we can't do that, we're not supposed to do that, that isn't Christian. Now remember, you've got a name. You've got a name. And then, as he took these twigs one at a time, he put them together, and as he put more twigs, these sticks together, the stronger it got. But it wasn't totally strong enough. So what he did, he took, I believe it was a piece of round stock or iron, cold roll, and he put it in the middle of this stick, and then he put the sticks around it. He says, now try to bend it. He couldn't. Because he had the rod of iron, you see, and the rod of iron is here. The rod of iron is here. We've got the rod of iron, but we don't use that rod of iron to the best of our ability. In 1 Corinthians, find this. Verse 18, chapter 4, I said 1 Corinthians, I meant 2 Corinthians, pardon me. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal, and that is the direction in which we are looking, to that eternal thing, not the things, not the temporal things that we can see. And these little individuals that built the house, and as we built, if we built with straw or sticks, then we're not using all that we can. All the materials available to us, we are not. We are looking at things here and not beyond. The bricklayer, when the little pig asked him if he would sell, he said, sure. And then he went on to say, gladly, said the bricklayer, these bricks will make you a fine, strong house. So the wise little pig took the bricks and slowly began to build his house very carefully, just the opposite of the other two. Just the opposite. Slowly began to build his house very carefully. Going over into Luke 6, Jesus, again, quoting Jesus, and you know when you quote Jesus, just like one of the panels said, when you talk about Jesus, you can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong. Even if you do not accept the word right then and there, you've planted the seed. And why call me Lord, Lord, in verse 46, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is a man which buildeth an house and dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Well, this little pig that saw this particular bricklayer, he was going to build a house that was going to be strong. And he also was going to do it very carefully. And slowly. He wasn't in a big rush. He didn't want to just set something there and say, look, and like these other two, look, I'm a Christian, look what I'm doing. You know, the word Christian today, brothers and sisters, has a very different connotation than it did 15 or 20 years ago. It seems to me that anybody that says, well, Jesus Christ, I believe in Jesus Christ, I love Jesus Christ, becomes a Christian. I believe, because the Word, because Jesus says, and why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, makes all the difference in the world, whether you have them in your heart and doing what He has asked you, what He has asked you to do through His written Word. Makes all the difference in the world. So when this pig had this all done, He looked at his report and he said, now look, this might take a little work. It's going to be laborious. It's going to take time. But when I get done, I'm going to be able to go into that house, your spiritual home, and I'm going to be able to rest. Now, this is how we want to take the gospel. This is what we want to do with the gospel. We want to build, and we want to build strong. We want to build a strong spiritual house. I was going to skip over here. Now we find this little pig, he has a little conscience, he confronts that wolf, and you're always going to confront that wolf. You're always going to confront the devourer. We find that the devourer would like to have you, and he's going to do all that he can to have you. He's going to do all the things that he can to do to discourage you. To read on page 110 in the Book of Mormon, second book of Nephi, chapter 6, beginning at verse 72. And verse 72 says, and find woe unto all of those who die in their sins, for they shall return to God and behold his face and remaineth in their sins. Oh, my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness and transgressing against the Holy Spirit. And holy God, and also that awful of yielding to enticings of that cunning one. And yet this wolf, he didn't yield to that enticing one. He was always one step ahead of him. How was he? Let us say, like one of the panelists, one of the brothers over here, said, you cannot do anything alone, but you must be prepared to do it. And the preparedness is done through prayer. But remember that cunning one that we're dealing with. You think you can handle it? You can't. Just a little bit. We've got everything all situated here. The pig is resting. Cunning one, he did. He said, now I'm going to come down that chimney. Little pig said, well, you come right ahead. I'm all prepared for you. I've got everything all set for you. So he comes down through the chimney, right into the pot. The lid goes on. The pig relaxes. And he says, you'll never bother me again. And actually, what happened then is the wolf did get into the house. But he wasn't able to destroy that house. Your house. Don't let him destroy your house. Build upon that rock, which is Jesus Christ. Don't try to build upon your own flesh, your own strength. Why not? Matthew 7 has an answer, I believe. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into that kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let me read that again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It doesn't say about somebody's own strength, but he did say that he did liken a man that built his house upon a firm foundation. And that firm foundation is Jesus Christ. And page 320 again in the Book of Mormon. I skipped one verse intentionally when we began. Verse 104. 104 on page 320, Book of Alma, chapter 3, reads thus. And behold, if a wolf enter his flock, doth he not drive him out? Yea, and at last, if he can, he will destroy him. And that's exactly what this little fellow did. He destroyed that wicked one. Let's turn over to Romans 6. In Romans 6, we find, I'm going to read just one verse. Are you still with me? Are you still awake? Hopefully you are. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And that little fellow there in the brick house that built it upon the firm foundation was walking in the newness of life. He had nothing to worry about. His concerns were taken care of. He was walking in this newness. And when I read this again, and I've read it so many times and quoted it so many times, not paying too much attention to the latter line, which goes, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What newness? We built. From the time that your mom and dad gave you a name, they build you up. They bring you up into a certain type of individual, hopefully what we call a good citizen. A person that doesn't get into trouble, that doesn't get involved with the wrong type or the wrong crowd. They are concerned. And you know, when you were brought into this form of verse 4, this new birth, and you come forth in a newness of life, now you have another reputation. Oh, I didn't want to say that. Tell me, why did you do it? I don't know. This is what it's about. Reputation. You have a reputation, brothers and sisters. You have a reputation of being a Christian. You have a reputation and not only being a Christian, but being a good citizen. Have you ever thought about your name? Is your name important to you? You know, people know you by your name or what you do and what you don't do. Have you realized that? Even the younger ones sitting way in the back row there, they also, all the young ones way back there, they also are building up a reputation, a name. Well, we'll have to go to Acts. And we're going to begin in chapter 5 of Acts, and just to get, pick up a little highlight, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered that we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, if these other two little fellows would have obeyed Woodson, and who else was it? Farmer? Draw. If they would have obeyed that word, then they would have built a house out of brick. But they didn't choose to do so. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of three things, and so of these things. And so it is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They didn't want to hear that word. They didn't want to accept that Jesus Christ was to be the Savior of the world. But now when they spoke out against that, these people that heard immediately began to rebel. And they took steps to do something to them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all people, and commanded to put the apostles forth for a little space. The thought that I want to bring out here, that he had a reputation. When this man stood up in this particular council, he said, now wait a minute. All people, patience. You know, we need patience. And he says, I heard somebody say, they prayed to the Lord for patience, and then he said, hurry up. Hurry up. Pray to the Lord for patience, and said, hurry up. And my thought was, as the conversation went on, that went ding, ding, ding up here, and I thought, that's exactly what people do. They say, Lord, give me patience, and hurry up. But never you mind, Lord, how slow I am to react to your word. We can't consider that. Yes, there's supposed to be a newness of life, brothers and sisters, and walking in the pathway of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to change. We are supposed to want to change. And how do we make some of these changes? Okay, some of the changes that we can make are, instead of being waited on, and you women are going to really love this, waited on, the men begin to serve. Selfishness to thoughtfulness, temper to pleasantness, quarrelsome to consideration. All of these things we can add, and my brother 2 weeks ago went into 1 Peter, and he named 7 different things that add to our lives. You know, when I passed those 7 things on to somebody else. And he also said in that particular sermon that you're the salt of the earth. But in that same sermon, in that same verse, that passage said, if the salt has lost its savor, what good are you? What could be trodden under a foot of men? Then I heard another sermon the other Sunday, last Sunday evening, where it says, we're not that much different than they were in the beginning. Man went into Deuteronomy 5, 4, 5, and 9, and I believe 13. We're not that much different. Have we made this change? Have we made this change that we're in, that our temper, we want to control our temper, or does it make any difference? So you're building upon a reputation. Young lady asked, said, I believe on the panel, said something to the effect, how do they know? Well, you know, or a young man, you know, when people see you, they will know the difference when they see you. Where, in closing, where do we build this reputation of Christendom, or build upon the name of Christ? Because we confess the name of Jesus Christ. We build it at home. We build it at home. School. Church. At work. At play. In study. Wherever you go, so goes your name on the waves of your reputation. A reputation will open doors or close them. What you build, you live with. Yes, a reputation will open doors or close. You can mention somebody's name for some wrongdoing. Let me hear my back. For some wrongdoing. Let's say Joe Blow or Jane Doe has a reputation of getting into trouble. And we're going to have a family reunion. And somebody says, well, you know, Jane Doe is coming, and so is Joe Doe, whatever. Oh, no, not Doe. You know, it's happened. Because of the reputation that we built. Remember, wherever you go, so goes your name on the weight of reputation. And don't forget, you said, you commit yourself in the waters of baptism. You said, I will go where you want me to go. I will say what you want me to say. Our conversation will change. I want to turn to one passage of scripture on the book of Titus. Could I take in eight scriptures in closing? I'll close. Titus, chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, tempered, sound in faith and charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, upon which so much depends in the church of Christ. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Now, this is something very important, because people are going to judge you, possibly, on this more than anything else, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech. Good, clean, wholesome speech. All the time. Where? School. Church. Oh, you don't hardly have to worry about that at church. Take it away from church. School. Work. Playground. With your buddies. Uptown, downtown, wherever, sound speech, recognizable anywhere. You know, when I used to come down to conferences when I lived in Michigan, and for one week, I didn't hear anybody cuss. Boy, that was like being in heaven. You're not going to hear anybody cuss up there. And you know, when I got back to where I worked, not that too many did, but there was enough. One's enough. And it wasn't large, wasn't the large words, it was the minor words that I don't mean by. That have become so prevalent in all forms of communication. It just does something. It just shatters you. I don't have that problem where I work now, because there's nobody that trusts. You have a customer. And I have told customers from time to time, have you noticed these men in here when they've been in the shop for quite long, that none of them are using bad language. Have you noticed? So let's consider upon what we are building. We're building upon Jesus Christ. Don't forget, you have a reputation. He has a reputation. You live up to that reputation, and you in turn also have a reputation. It goes with you wherever you go. When will it come back to you? When will it come back to you? I'm going to ask your forgiveness. I got to go to Revelations. Revelations 20. Revelations 20. When is your reputation going to come back to you? Okay, in Revelations 20, we're going to read in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in books, according to their words. Now, just think, what you do, and those people back there sitting by the window also, what you do, just as well as the people up front here, is being recorded. It's being recorded. You're being recorded in a book. Going over to 21 and 27. Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that is where you want to find your reputation, so that it can be read to you, and you can say, well, I've done the best I can with His help, and He's going to love you. And may God love you. In closing, thank you very much for your very kind attention.